This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Peter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. So the title of this message is Humble Yourselves, because what's been going on is, I'm really blessed with what God has been doing here in this church, how he's been working in different ways. I love the way that the trajectory is going. God has really blessed us, amen, in numerous ways. And with those blessings can often come the temptations of being conceited or proud. And so, this sermon, oftentimes people might think, oh, the pastor picked that topic because he's thinking of somebody who needs to hear it in the congregation. Where 9 times out of 10 with me, often the topic is something because God is working in my life, something that needs work in. Wasn't that a real humble statement of me to say? Case in point. You see, there's a story of these two monks in a monastery, and the one monk says to the other, you know, dear brother, I've been here for 20 years, and it has taken me 20 years to discover the secret to humility. And I finally discovered the secret to humility. And the second monk looks at him and says, okay, dear brother, what is the secret? And he says, I have realized that I am a nothing. I am a nothing. That is a secret to humility. Well, just then a third monk, who has only been there for a couple months, walks in the room and overhearing the conversation says, wow, that's great. I am a nothing too. And then walks away. And the first monk looks at the second and says, who does he think he is to say that he's a nothing? It's taken me 20 years to realize that. Well, he was a something, I tell you. Humility. Look at this Bible verse, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, There's this real profound statement. God says this in verse 5, at the end of the verse, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when I read that verse, it really spoke to me as if to say, you know, Alex, the Lord is blessing the ministry in different ways. And I feel that as we seek the Lord, that He's going to use us in a great way. Particularly with current events going on, I feel like He's preparing us. He wants to use us. But when I read that verse, I realized if there's any pride, it won't happen. You see, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And God has abundant blessings. He wants to pour out on our lives if we're humble. And so if we hope to be used by God, if we hope to be in God's will and do His will and do what He's called us to do, this attitude is necessary. Otherwise, we're cutting off the means of receiving that blessing. So this is particularly relevant to me, and I hope you're encouraged as well. What is humility? Well, the word humility, English, comes from that Latin word humus, which means earth. It comes from the word that means earth, you know, down to the earth. Where the soil is that gets trodden upon, not up in the lofty skies. In the original of our Bibles, the word comes from meaning low and understanding. In essence, humility is, it's having a proper understanding of one's position, having a proper understanding of one's lowliness in the presence of a greater. That is humility. Understanding our lowly position in the presence of a greater. And of course, the opposite of humility is that damnable pride that we all struggle with. To illustrate humility, I bring up William Carey. He was called the father of modern missions. He spent his early years as a cobbler, a shoe mender. But he ended up being used by God to be one of the greatest church linguists in the world. He translated parts of the Bible into as many as 24 different Indian languages. He was a missionary to India. When he first went to India, there were some who regarded him with contempt, because he didn't have the pedigree. And there was one occasion at a big dinner party, one individual spoke up with a loud enough voice for everyone to hear, leaned over and said, "I suppose, Mr. Carey, that you once worked as a shoe maker," you know, as if to put him down for his lowly position. And Carey famously responded, he said, "Oh, no, 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 your lordship. Not a shoemaker, only as a shoe mender, you see. I don't make them, I just fix them." And you can get the idea from that illustration of humility, what it looks like. So pride then would be the complete opposite. Now, there is a good pride. There's a sense of having pride in your work, if you do a good job, or pride in your family. But even then, if it's disconnected from God and receiving all of our talents and blessings from God, it's a wrong pride, you see. You know, oh, look at the good job I did. If you think of it, it's an inflation of self. Pride is an inflation. You just get filled and filled and filled and filled with yourself, and you get inflated. It's an inflation of self. Whereas humility is a lowliness. Pride is a lifting up of one as high as possible. And you all know this was the sin that originated with Satan. God made Satan the most beautiful being, angelic being, having authority over the angelic hosts, and for some mysterious reason, it got to his head. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 14, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God says, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And through Satan into the world, the fall of mankind, pride has infected humans since the day Adam ate the fruit. And it's so deep and hard to notice, we can even be proud of our humility. It's impossible to escape. It's everywhere that sins resides. The moment you start thinking about how you've conquered pride, you know, pride is right there just applauding your growth in humility. And you're like, oh, great job. You're so much humble now. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And that's why I called it earlier a damnable sin. Because honestly, pride will damn people to hell. In all seriousness, there may be people who have no other obstacle to receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved except that they're too proud. They're too proud to admit that they're a sinner. They're too proud to ask for forgiveness. They're too proud to let go of their sin and cleave to the cross of Christ for salvation. They're too proud to lay down their own religious self-efforts, good works. They're too proud to trust in what Jesus has done. And hell will be and is full of people who were too proud to be saved. And they try to make pride sound like a good thing. Pride month, they call it. Pride parades they have. And we're told that God resists the proud. Why does God resist the proud? Because in essence, what a person is saying is they're saying, I don't need you, God. I don't need you. I can do it just fine on my own. I don't need your word. I don't need your people. I don't need your will for my life. I'm fine. I'll do it just fine by myself. They may not say it, but in their heart, that's what it is. And it doesn't matter. It's funny because we think, oh, pride only resides in people who have higher positions in society. That's not true at all. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're talented or talentless, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, smart, simple, you will be tempted to be proud. I will be tempted to be proud. So much so that even the devil won't be able to put up with us. God wants to use this church. God wants to use you as an individual. God wants to abundantly bless your life with so many blessings, you can't even wrap your head around it. He has so many plans for you, you can't even begin to understand. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's got all the mechanics worked out in his mind, and he's ready, and his hands are there. He's got a floodgate that he's going to let the dam break, and all the waters of his mercy and his grace and his blessings are ready to pour in your life. But the Bible says he gives grace to the humble. And so if we don't have that humble, it's like we're pushing up the floodgate saying, no. How to humble yourselves. In our text, we see the first key to understanding humility is to have a higher view of God. To have a higher view of God. Look in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is the first key. A proud person has a lower view of God. Now, I need to be careful, because we're going to think immediately I'm talking about size, you know, big, small. Really, it's more respect. To have a higher view of God is to have a deeper sense of respect and reverence for who God is. To a proud person, and especially in our society, you talk to people and, you know, the disrespect for God is so severe. And I know that it was true before I was a Christian, and I can see it happen again. The disrespect for God. And you talk to people sometimes and you get the idea that God is just like a white-bearded killjoy who wants to put a damper on life's continual party. Or God is a deified vending machine who dispenses anything you want, anytime you want it. God is not a divine vending machine. In our world of New Age religion, God is kind of, you talk to some people and God is nothing more than a galactic glob of impersonal forces found deep within the souls of every person. True humility is found first by understanding the majesty of God. Because when you understand the majesty of God, it puts things in perspective. That verse talks about humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You can picture like God's hand is over your life as a giant palm that reaches from horizon to horizon, and it's there. And the Bible says, humble yourselves under that mighty hand. He has a hand over you for good. We have this calendar by Adrian Rogers. Every day is a different devotion that he talked about. And I had to bring this over because I read this one about today's. And it's exactly what the Bible's teaching us. He says this, God sees everything you do. God knows all about you. God loves you. It is an amazing thing that the Lord would feel this way about any of us, when we are about the size of a grain of sand compared to the universe that He created. There is no more reason for God to be interested in us than for the President of the United States to be interested in an ant floating on a piece of cheesecake in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And yet God is interested, very interested, in you. We just heard from Becky about that testimony that God is big enough to fill the universe, but small enough to reside in your heart. The sun that stays in the sky and warms the earth will ripen a bunch of bananas like it has nothing better to do. In the same way, Almighty God runs the universe and is concerned about you as though you were His only concern. Don't walk away from this calendar until that sinks deep into your heart. And the Bible verse associated with it is Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. I had this planned until I read that calendar where Rogers also says, what we need is not great faith, but faith in a great God. God is mightier than any fraudulent president, more powerful than any diabolical dictator, and more in control in this world, of this world, than any band of greedy globalists. God is the one who parted the Red Sea, allowed the people that He has chosen for Himself to pass through, and then swallow up His enemies. And when they got to the other end of the sea, what did they do? They sang to Him. They said in Exodus 15, who is like You, O Lord? Among the mighty ones, who is like You? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Humility comes when we understand the greatness and mightiness of God and have that deep respect for Him. A.W. Tozer said this, it is not a cheerful thought that millions of us who live in a land of Bibles, who belong to churches and labor to promote the Christian religion, may yet pass our whole life on this earth without once having thought or tried to think seriously about the being of God. Few of us have let our hearts gaze in wonder at the I Am. How mighty is God to you? How mighty is God to me? When you or I wake up, do we think God is here? God is here. When we go about our day at work, do we think God is working with me? When we hear about what's going on in the world, do we think God is still at work? What do you want me to do, God? This is the first step to humbling ourselves. Putting ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It puts things in radical perspective. The second key, though, just as important, if not more important, have a lower view of yourself. First, have a higher view of God. Second, have a lower view of yourself. You see, you've got the mighty hand in verse 6. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under that mighty hand. Realize where you are in relation to God's mighty hand. And that's important because I've met Christians and I've experienced this in my own life where, you know, they've got the mighty hand of God and God is all this omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and there I am on top of it, holding the scepter. But God says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand. People sometimes talk about the greatness of God so with such a pride to them that it's almost like you think they're talking about themselves. Considering the greatness of God, we should respond and realize how dependent we are on Him for everything. We are dependent on Him for everything. There was a time when John the Baptist was alive, soon after he died, his head was cut off. And Jesus said to the crowd, He said, among those born of women, there has not been one greater than John the Baptist. He said, up to that point, no other person has ever walked the earth greater than John the Baptist. That's from the words of Jesus. And yet when you look at the life of John the Baptist, what is he marked by? What does he say? He says, the bridegroom has come. I am the friend of the bridegroom. He says, he must increase. I must decrease. That's what John the Baptist said, and Jesus said he is the greatest one ever to be born of a woman. We have to humble ourselves under that mighty hand. Look, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah is a godly man. He's a prophet of the Lord. He walks with God and talks with God, and he knows God is all-powerful and almighty. He knows all that. But then something happened in chapter 6 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. He was given a vision of God, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, and it stood above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the doorposts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. In verse 5, the Bible says, so I said, that is Isaiah, I said, that's right. I knew it. God, You're all powerful. Just as I said, I was right. I was telling those Israelite people how great You were. They wouldn't believe me. Verse 5, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, Isaiah knew God was mighty, but he humbled himself under that mighty hand. And then God commissioned him and used him for great things. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large church in Melbourne, Australia, and the moderator of the service introduced him with all this eloquent speech and glowing terms. And he stood up there, and The host said, you know, presented him as, "I'd like to welcome our illustrious guest." And Hudson Taylor got up there and he stood quietly for a moment before he began his message. And he said, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." Have a higher view of God, that is a respect for Him. Have a lower view of yourself. Not saying, oh, you need to have low self-esteem. You need to have a high Christ esteem. But you need to have a proper understanding of who you are in relationship to God. Thirdly, have an equal view of others. Have an equal view of others. Higher view of God, lower view of yourself, equal view of others. Look in there, 1 Peter chapter 5. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Clothed with humility. The picture there is that humility is a garment that you put over yourself. The NIV puts it this way: "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." When you look at that word clothe, this is the only spot that it's used. And the picture there is not so much, you know, you get up every morning and you pick your outfit out for the day and you clothe yourself in your outfit. The word that's used here is describing putting on an ornamented garment, a garment that's for a purpose. And it's used to describe like putting on an apron on top of your already established garment, taking an apron and tying a loop to get ready. And it's used to describe what slaves would wear. They would take a garment and put it over themselves and tie the loops as if to say, "I'm ready to serve my master." And the Bible's saying, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. You see, humility is not just a God and me thing. Humility is also a me and you thing, and a you and me thing, and a you and you thing. And the Bible says we need to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. I'd like to picture us right now. Just picture in your mind all of us get up and get up and form a circle in the church. And we're all looking at each other, and we're all seeing everybody's different choice of clothing and thinking of where everybody is. And now we're each handed a plain robe, plain white robe. And take that robe and just put it over what you're wearing. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus are given these robes. The Bible talks about in heaven, we'll be given white robes. It's all going to look the same. We're all going to have the same garb. In the sight of God, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. In the sight of God, we're all desperately wicked in need of a change. And when we think of ourselves and our relationship to one another, we should have a perspective like, I'm nobody outside of the grace of God. Who am I? Clothe yourselves in humility. You remember Jesus with the disciples. What did he do? He took out his garment, he took a towel, and he washed their feet. And he said, I'm leaving you an example that you should do the same. And our problem in the world is that everybody is fighting for the top, yet nobody is fighting for the towel. We're equal before God. I think about this too in our churches. I remember when we left one church that we were going to and we were visiting other churches. We went to different churches here and there. And there was this one church, I don't remember the circumstances, but for some reason, it was my mother-in-law, Bill and I, we were visiting this one church and we went there and we realized immediately they were a smaller church. I've always, since I've been a Christian, been going to smaller churches, but this one was really small. I mean, struggling small. And the pastor there, he and his wife, they had three daughters who were there. and they were younger. And you could tell from the way the church operated that the pastor's wife, the $3, they run everything. They do everything. And we went there, and when we walked in, here's the pastor and his wife with their three unmarried daughters, and here comes in a woman with two sons. And the feeling we got immediately when we got there was like, oh, they were happy to see us. Oh, they're happy we were there. We were just what they needed. He says, you see, we've got these three daughters. And when they found out that Bill and I were already married, it's like there was a shift in the demeanor. It was like there was a shift of, oh, yeah, you could tell. And I've sensed that sometimes with this idea of, you know, we're very selective in who we're enthused to see sometimes based on, you know, maybe their position or different things that we're looking for. But the Bible teaches us that we are to treat everyone equally because we are equal in God's eyes as Christians. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, if my mother-in-law had gone with two of her daughters, would the family have been the same welcoming and amiableness to them? Well, there should be, and we should be too. It said in the early church that even though the institution of master and indentured servitude existed in the church, when they had the Lord's Supper, it was common for the master to serve his servants, you see. Because they realized that at the Lord's table in Christ, there's equality. Have a high view of God, have a lower view of yourself, have an equal view of others. And look what happens here. This is beautiful. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. The day will come when God will take that mighty hand and he'll come down and he'll pick you up. But he's not going to pick you up to put you high above everyone else. He's going to pick you up to bring you where he is. In the heavenlies. Close to his heart. Seated next to him on his throne. As we close, I want to read these three verses to you. And as I read these, I just want you to cherish these. As I, when I read them, I think to myself, Lord, that's what I want. This encapsulates everything. I want this. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. If you want God to look on you with favor and bless you, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. If you're here this morning and you think to yourself, I don't know this God that you talk about. I've heard of him, but I didn't realize he was as grand. and I see myself as a sinner, and I don't know Him, and I need Him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you need His grace and His forgiveness. Don't think that you can do it yourself, that you can live through this life and try to be the best person that you can be. That's pride. So you need God. You need Him to do the work. You need Him to come into your heart and change you. Humble yourselves on the mighty hand of God. Call on Him for salvation, and He will save you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much that You do show favor to us, but we don't deserve it. But I pray for each of us, Lord, wherever we are in life, that we here would humble ourselves before You. I believe You have a great work for us. I believe You want to do a great work through us. We need to cast ourselves before You. It's the only way that You will use us. Father God, I pray that You would be exalted. Everything would be done for Your glory, not to us. Not to us be the glory, but to You. And I pray that we in our lives, as we go from here, would draw attention to You, not to ourselves. Help me, Father, for Your glory and Your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.